In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We see that Mark is preaching and teaching to the Romans, and they are under persecution. That's why Jesus is in the desert with the wild animals, telling them that they will be with the wild animals and that nothing is there to make them afraid because they will be on their way to heaven. I'm looking at the third chapter of Mark, verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. Why do you think the multitudes from Galilee and Judea are following Jesus? They're following Jesus because they're sick. They're following Jesus because they need healing. They're following Jesus because he is the answer to their problem. What about you? Who are you following today as the answer to your problem? You say, I might have many problems. There's only one answer. And these people knew what the answer was. The multitude from Galilee and Judea followed Jesus. And from Jerusalem and from Idumea and beyond the Jordan, they were in Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did. And they came unto Jesus. They heard. People would witness what Jesus did. And the scripture says, and he spoke to his disciples that they would get a small ship and wait on him because of the multitude. The multitude was crushing him, lest they should throng him, for he had healed many. Why do you think the Gospel of Mark is telling us that he has healed many? I'm taking you now to the last chapter of Mark, the 16th verse, the 16th chapter. And the one who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and it will not. And they drink deadly poisons that shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. Why do you think that is the last chapter of Mark? He's saying what Jesus did, we are called to do in the power of the Spirit. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so necessary to bring healing to not only ourselves, but to others. Many people follow Jesus because he was their only hope. As a matter of fact, he's my only hope anyway. What about you? He's your only hope. Jesus is your only hope. Trust in him today. Trust in him today. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." And he charged them that they should not make him known. The devils know who Jesus is. He's their arch enemy. Let me tell you, the opposite of Jesus is not the devil. The devil's opposite is Michael the archangel. I'm looking at the 13th verse. And Jesus went up a mountain and called to himself those whom he desired, and they came to him. Do you know today that Jesus desires you? Do you know today that you are desired by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that today? That he's calling you, that he wants your life, that he wants your surrender, that he wants you, that he is the answer to your problems. Do you know that today? And Jesus went up a mountain and called unto him those whom he desired. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Here we go again. The business of preaching, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He sent them out to preach, and not only to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils. And Simon, whose name was Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed Boanerges, which is sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also would betray him. And they went into a house, and the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for he said, he is beside himself. Okay, his friends and his family think he's beside himself. Do you know what it means to be beside yourself? It means to be out of your mind. His friends and his family heard where he was, and they wanted to hold on to him, get him, for he is beside himself. I'm telling you, many people think that when healings take place, it's all a trick, and these people are only in it for money. Let me just tell you something. Let me just tell you, this is something I just want to confess. Last night, I felt like having rice, so I took $10 from the kitty. I can take it to buy food, but I don't usually. I know it's $20, and I got my rice, and I'm going to give that $20 back. I don't do this for money. If you think that I am preaching to you for money, you're absolutely wrong. Not 1 cent comes to me. I do not take one penny. And it's just like that. And if I borrow money from my kitty that has nothing to do with radio, I give it back. Why? Because that's the way I am. I don't want to take God's people's money. You know, a lady wrote me a check for $50. So you know what I did? I signed it over to the Holy Rosary because we need money. We need money if we are to stay open. So I signed it over to the Holy Rosary. Let me tell you, this Holy Rosary is a place where people can come and lay their sorrows at the altar and be healed. Yesterday, I proclaimed about a lady who had a tumor in her stomach that was like a four-month-old baby, and that right now, the tumor is like a two-month-old baby. It has decreased. Let me just tell you, that's what it's all about. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has a spirit called Beelzebub, who is the prince of devils, and he casts out devils by the devil himself. And he came unto them and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. I'm talking to churches now. How many churches are divided against themselves, not only between Catholic and Protestant, but between Protestant in their own place and Catholics in their own place? How many people are divided against itself? Nothing happens when there is division. Jesus prayed on the night before he died that they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, so that the world would know that you sent me. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's right. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house. Truly, truly, I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and all blasphemies wherever they are coming from. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit hath never got forgiveness. So what is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our forgiveness of sins. He makes the blood of Jesus real. The Holy Spirit is the forgiveness of our sins. That's real. Now, if I tell you the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not accepting final forgiveness, they don't want the forgiveness of God. I've seen that. I was with a woman, and I was with her hours and trying to tell her that she was on her way and God wanted to bring her to himself and that she needed to be just say yes to Jesus. And she said, no, no. She kept on saying, no, the poor lady. I did not condemn the lady. I did not know what pain she came from. But the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not accepting final forgiveness from God. And he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said this, he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and they are standing outside, and they calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, your mother and your brethren are out there seeking for you. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And he looked around, and behold, those who sat about him said, behold, my mother, my brothers, for whoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother, my sister, and my brother. I'm telling you, is Mary the spiritual mother of Jesus? She is the physical mother of Jesus. Well, let's look at it. In Nazareth, she said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh. That's what happened in Nazareth. Then she goes to Elizabeth and stays with her 3 months. She does the will of God. Then in Cana of Galilee, she says, do whatever he tells you to. She does the will of God. Then we see Mary under the cross. Beneath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She was there when all the disciples left. She did the will of God. And she was there at Pentecost. They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm telling you, Mary is not only the physical mother of Jesus, but the spiritual mother of Jesus. There came his brethren, and I said this, and he looked around and said to them, which about him? And said, behold, my mother, my brother, my friends, for whoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. And Mary did the will of God in every situation. That's just the way it is. In the story of Heaven is for Real, the little boy who's not Catholic said he saw our Blessed Mother. And the father said, what was she doing? She was kneeling before the throne of Jesus. And he began again, chapter 4, to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a boat and sat in the sea with the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Why does he do this? Because he's being crushed. He's not going to be able to preach. And also, if he gets into a boat, you're going to have good acoustics. I'm telling you, why did they all follow Jesus? Because they needed a touch from Jesus. Do you need a touch from Jesus today? He is there for you. He is there for me. If we need that touch from Jesus, he is there for us. That's why they all followed him. Oh, they followed him from every place. You know why? They were desperate. They were desperate for Jesus' touch. And he taught them many things. Why does he teach them many things? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he taught them things in parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Well, that seed didn't take root. Some seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns and grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and yielded fruit that sprang up to be 40, 30, and 60, and some 100-fold. I'm telling you, Jesus is talking about not only seeds, but people. Oh yes, there are some people who hear the word of God. And when he was alone, they were with him, and the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may not see, and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven. Who is this from? This is from the book of Isaiah. That's what God said to Isaiah. When you go out, they will see, but they will not see. They will hear, but they will not hear. This is what God said to Isaiah, and Jesus uses it. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable, and how then will you know other parables? The sower sows the word, okay, the word of God. And these are they by the wayside, the people by the wayside. The word is sown, but when they have heard it, the enemy comes, Satan, immediately, and takes it away, and the word that was sown in their hearts is gone. Okay? By the wayside, the people that are sown by the wayside, the enemy comes and immediately takes away the word. Then there are likewise those which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately they receive gladness and joy. That's people. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So Jesus talks about the seed as being the word of God reaching people. First, it's a seed by the wayside. The devil steals it. Then, seeds by the stony ground. Oh, yes, they receive it with gladness, but there's no root in them, and they don't endure when affliction or persecution arises. Are you one of those persons? Give your life back to Jesus. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word of God and the cares of this world. I've got to pay all my bills. Deceitfulness. Riches, lusts of other things entering in to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But those that are sown on good ground and hear the word of God and receive it bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I'm telling you, we are sown on one of those grounds. Where are you sown on? Is your only answer Jesus today? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he's got plans for you? I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Do you know that Jesus Christ can solve all your problems as you place your trust in him? This morning I just said to the Lord, I trust you. I had to say it 3 times because you know what? The first 2 times I didn't trust him. And if I didn't trust him the 3rd time, I tell you right now, Lord, I trust you. I have to trust you. And he said to them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not be set on the candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Everything we've done in secret going to be manifested. We're going to see everything I did, everything you did, everything everyone else did. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And what measure you meet shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be given more. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, to him shall be taken away, even the little he has. Now, what measure that God gives to us, be it money or forgiveness, whatever we measure out, that measure will come back to us. You know, that's why I say we've got to be very, very true to give the Lord our first fruits, the first 10%. What measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. If you're putting $1 in the box or 5, I'm just telling you. You know what I'm saying? It's not enough. it's not enough. That's that you're going to be measured for a dollar. No, no. When we give, it counts for our faith. This is my faith going in the box. This is my faith going in the box. My faith. And what measure I measure shall be measured unto me, and more shall be given. For he that hath to him shall more be given, and he that hath not from him will be taken, even the little that he has. And then he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night after day, and seed should spring and grow up, he doesn't know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the ear the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts it in a sickle, because the harvest has come. I'm telling you, there is a harvest of people in New England, in Boston, and throughout the world. There is a harvest of people, but who's going after them? You know what I'm saying? If you don't go after them, you know what's going to happen? The harvest is going to rot on the vine. That's right. The laborers are few. We need laborers. I'm looking for young people that want to follow Jesus with me. I'm looking for young people that I can share the anointing of God with. I'm looking for young people that would call me, and I would choose the ones that God tells me to choose. Because you know what? We need harvesters. We need people that would share what God has given them. Father Matthew says, whatever he has received from the unction that God has put in me. That's what he says. That's the way it is. You got to share the anointing. You don't keep the anointing to yourself. You share the anointing. And the Lord multiplies that anointing. And then I'll do one more thing. And Jesus said, what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Oh yes, just the faith of a mustard seed is all we need. The faith of a mustard seed to lay hands upon the sick, that they would be healed. Oh yes, we saw Paul was bitten by a snake, and it didn't bother him, it didn't kill him, and the people thought he was a god. He wasn't a god, it was what the Lord promised. They shall be bitten by snakes, but it shall not hurt them. They shall drink poison, and they shall not die. I'm telling you, people that are on a mission have the hand of God on their heads. Let me tell you this. One thing I do miss is being on mission going someplace else. You know why? Because you see new people, and people that are hungry, and people that are thirsty, and people that hear the word of God, and people that get healed one right after the other. Oh, I miss going out, but you know what? I don't have the strength right now. I do miss going out, but God has got me where he's got me. And even if one person every Saturday night gets healed, that's better than none. I've seen the miracles of God. I've seen the power of God. I've seen the visions of God. And the Lord wants to increase that within people. He wants to increase this in people, the anointing, that great anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what Jesus did in the Gospels. He says to us, we shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. My question to you is, when was the last time you prayed, you put your hands upon the sick and they got better? When was the last time? When was the last time? You say, never, I'm not a priest. He doesn't say that to priests. He says, for those who believe, are you a believer? Are you a believer who believes in Jesus? Then do it. Just do it. D-O-I-T. Do it. As a response in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it. D-O-I-T. God is looking for people who would pray for the sick and who would bring them to Jesus Christ. That's what God is looking for. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'd like to tell you that I need to hear from people so that we can pay our May bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you get something out of these broadcasts, please respond. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.